Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, September the 18th, 262nd day of the new year. Join us this afternoon, Arcata City Manager, Mr. Mendoza.
Hi, Brian.
How are you doing, Randy?
I'm doing great.
Really?
How about you?
I am plugging along.
Well,
it's not bad.
You're doing pretty good for a
plugging along is doing okay, yeah. Finished finally painting the part of the lobby I was going to finish painting. So that's,
it's beautiful. But did you get painted?
Did you really notice that the lobby had been painted?
Well, I can see it outside the window from the booth here, and it looks beautiful.
Yeah, I didn't think you did.
The question is, did you actually do the painting?
Yeah. Oh, not only did I do it, I had to do it twice.
You got the wrong color.
You've done that one too, huh?
I still have paint on me. I've been painting at home as well, so it's a painting
high
time
gloss,
of year.
Right? Everything else is high gloss. I grabbed a can that was flat. One was, I think it's called White Knight or something like that. It's a white with a slight little green tinge to it. And the other was a flat Navajo. Well, as I've been sharing, I didn't realize until I was done cutting everything in.
Well, I've been painting my daughter's bedroom, and it's bright purple and bright green, so we're a little bit different.
Yeah, with sunglasses or without?
Oh, it actually turns out really well. She's got very good taste.
What's the third color?
Let's see. Two different colors of purple and then bright green. Okay. So she'll probably kill me for mentioning this on the radio, but now.
Yeah, it's all right. It's the internet thing when you start emailing it out to her friends.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you got there? You got a printout.
Well, if you want to take, I just was looking at things here and
it says no radiation. Okay, I got
On September 21st at 7:30 p.m. at the Arcata Marsh and Interpretive Center, local historian Jerry Rohde is going to talk about the history of Humboldt Bay near the Arcata Marsh.
That would be the old train trestle.
Yeah, so that's at the Arcata Marsh and Interpretive Center on South G Street.
This isn't going to be PSAs on parade, is it?
Well, you asked, so I thought I would, since you were talking about plugs, you just let me do a plug. Drum roll.
Well, that one's okay because it's history. That's kind of cool. And it involves commerce.
Yes, yes.
So that's and trains.
Yes, well, I guess
that's not
there were trains back then, yeah.
Yeah, narrow gauge.
Yeah.
You don't know this stuff?
I do, yeah. The trestle remnants are still there.
Yes, they are.
In fact,
my question is, why aren't the trains running? But that'll be something we'll deal with when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:11.
I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 3:14. We're back to talk this afternoon with Mr. Mendoza from the City of Arcata. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Louis Brandeis, Supreme Court Justice. The greatest dangers to liberty lurk in insidious encroachment by men of zeal, well-meaning, but without understanding.
Well, if I could understand what that meant, it sounds pretty good.
Oh, you can handle this. You've had a fifth grade education. We can do this. I'll go slow.
And you may have no listeners left by the time you're done.
Oh, I would imagine you guys have a fair amount of people who show up at public meetings, show up at your doorstep, show up at places of employment, and just don't have a clue what they're talking about. But they're really passionate in arguing a position. How do you deal with someone like that, Randy, as a manager, as somebody who's in a public session, public hearing, and you can't call the guy incompetent, or the gal, but uneducated, not knowledgeable, not understanding, those are phrases that would be applicable. How do you work with somebody like that to let them know a little bit that perhaps their fervent position isn't necessarily an accurate one and that doing some homework might change their opinion?
Well, that's something that is a big part of the job, actually. And for people that do what I do, if you don't understand that, then you're going to have a hard time with your job, because you can't expect how I resolve that is that I figure I can't expect people to keep track of all the issues. And sometimes when they come across an issue of particular concern, you know, they get fired up just like I would get fired up on issues that concern me. So part of a big part of public service, I think, is maybe to quote Yogi Berra, it's deja vu all over again. And that's part of why in government it's so slow. You know, people say, you know, the wheels of government turn very slowly. Well, that's one of the major reasons, from my point of view, is that it's a collaborative process. And we go slow and we make sure that we put the word out the best we can so that you have that public discussion and that everybody's able to say their word so that the elected officials can make their decision.
A collaborative process, okay. All-encompassing?
It really is. We could get a lot done if we could just go out and do what we think would be the best thing to do, but that's not the way it works. We put it out and the public has everything's conducted and open, and the public has a right to weigh in, and then certain things require public hearings, and introductions of ordinances, for instance, require reading it more than once and multiple times to make sure that we get the word out the best we can to as many people as possible.
So how do you deal with public comment, but only to the extent where public comment becomes productive? And the county, certainly with the general plan, is a prime example. You can beat a dead horse for years if you want. Yeah, at some point, I would think the goal is to have a determination and action.
Well, some of those issues are beat for years, and because the terms of the elected officials change and the citizens' interests come and go, and some of these things can go on for years. And I don't, there's really, but that's the process that was put in place, and that's why it goes so slowly, because there's so many different opinions that are taken into account.
And I suppose there's a feeling that that needs to occur.
It has to occur, and I don't know any other way other than a dictatorship.
Well, you don't have that on your business card yet.
No.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight. Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Arcata City Manager Randy Mendoza. Randy, public comment is an interesting thing. You can have the redundancies, certainly. But I would think it's kind of like filibustering if somebody wanted to.
Well, I think most places have a clock now. I know our city council has a clock. But
not the length of time, the numbers of people.
Well, sure, you could. And we've had those. I remember back in 1990, I think.
Nuclear free zone?
No, the Gulf War sanctuary.
Yeah, the sanctuary.
I think we
yeah.
had 8 hours of oral communication.
That's right. You were wearing a badge, though.
I was.
I had a headphone on
back then. But
yeah, I was wanting to throw things at people because of the redundancy.
Well, but everybody wants to get their word. I think our city council has done a unique way of I think, and it seems to be working pretty well, is we have early oral communications to where they'll just take up 15 minutes. You take a card, and they're only going to take up 15 minutes of time. And so the amount of people that can fill up that 15 minutes, you know, that you each get 3 minutes and you can talk. And then if you want to talk about other things that aren't on the agenda, you can wait until the end of towards the end of the meeting after the major business has been conducted and you can talk about
those
items.
I would think that would probably tend to limit things. Or you get drunks from the bar coming into the end of the city hall to make their comments known on their way home.
Well, the complaints before were that if people wanted to come in and address the city council, they had to wait through the business meeting. But then before when we had it, the oral communication at the beginning, then it would take up all the time. And if you had some property or land use issues that were coming up, you had to sit there and wait, you know, for all these non-agendized things to take place. And in some cases, you know, a developer, for instance, might bring in an attorney and a, you know, and architects, and they're paying them to be there. So this is kind of a compromise that our council has done with the last couple of years, and I think it's working pretty well.
Best one I've heard of, City of Medford, and this is when Shipley left for Eureka and went there, and they took care of the business side during the lunch hour with a brown paper bag. Everybody shows up with a lunch. You got 60 minutes. You conduct business. If there's carryovers, the next day.
But it'd be wonderful to have council meetings during the day.
Still public.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. But then during the evenings was the things that were more public involvement rather than the consent calendars and the business stuff and the business of the city rather than doing some of the other things. Last time I talked to him, he said it worked dandy. Just was a different approach, but it recognized that, you know, people weren't going to stay there until 10 o'clock if they have little guys. And so much of the business side is conducted during business hours, not after business hours.
I think, I wonder if they have paid council members, because I know in Arcata we have some council members, you know, that actually have, they have other jobs. You know, this is a volunteer assignment for them. So they're
lunch hour.
But sometimes they're in other communities as well.
Oh.
They're not necessarily working in town.
Live and work in Arcata.
Yeah. So they, you know, okay. We have one council member, I think, that spends a fair amount of time in Fortuna, for instance, working. His job takes him there. So I
as contrasted to someone who works in Arcata and lives in Fortuna.
Correct. Okay. Right. We have those too.
Really? You allow them into the city?
We allow everybody. We're also a friendly city. Drum roll.
Well, that explains where the last sign disappeared to.
We're keeping it for the bicentennial.
It's in blue and white and has a dog on it. I don't understand that part of it.
Your Fortuna residents will know. Probably turning off their radios right now.
Yeah, or they're firing up their cars.
Yeah.
Coming to Arcata, yeah. Has public discourse gotten more centered in the public hearing portions of the meetings?
I think so. I would characterize our city council meetings as collegiate and very calm. I mean, we haven't had any craziness for quite some time now. So I think people should feel free to come and join us.
How come? What's been going on that's brought, I wouldn't say moderation, but more of a central perspective?
I'm not sure. Perhaps maybe the public access television has, you know, to where people can access from home, and I think people are perhaps keeping more in tune because they can, you know, the access television shows the council meetings throughout the day and throughout the night, and people, I don't think it's as much of a mystery. And I think that people are actually seeing that the business that's being conducted is basic city business.
And mundane?
Oh, I don't think it's mundane. There's a lot of important business taking place. But mundane for some, perhaps, if it's not their particular issue that's on at the time. But it's amazing how many projects go through. We work on three agendas at one time. Our city staff works on three council meeting agendas at any given time. So there's a lot of stuff going on in your city, a lot of business taking place.
Just the normal business of doing business?
A lot of that, because the council has to approve all policy items, major expenditures, acceptance of donations. You know, the council's in charge. And our city is a busy city, and the council is a busy council for running those items.
And the staff?
And the staff is, I think they use the overflowing of the plate. Yes, our staff is very busy, and I'm very proud of them.
I just didn't want you to leave them out in the field or out in the bay or something like that.
I'll tell you, we have the best staff. They work very hard.
Okay.
Time for a commercial.
Well, yeah, thanks for the conjunction. It's 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Arcata City Manager, Mr. Randy Mendoza. Randy, as you incorporate some of the plans with the public hearings, some of the work that you're doing, the budgeting, all these different challenges that are out there, what do you see for the rest of this year? Are you going to be able to get more stuff done? Is it going to be exciting? Is it called hold your breath? Find out what's going on at the state level, some of the federal things. What's the general attitude now in City Hall as we're waiting for future developments?
Well, I think we're not holding our breath now. I think we're kind of steady as she goes right now. I think that perhaps, you know, when the next state budget rounds come out, that's when we'll start holding our breath. We'll see. We're going to start doing our budget again in January. I like to go out of mid-year. You know, when you look at the mid-year budget and while you got the books open and you're looking at everything, I like to start planning the following year's budget right after that because I think that's when we're the most focused on where the numbers are. So in January, we'll start over again to work on the next fiscal year budget, which starts, you know, for Arcata, I think most of the entities in Humboldt County, our fiscal year starts July 1st and goes to June 30th.
Now, there's something in the back of my head is saying an 18-month budget. Do you guys play with that as a rolling? Is that a template? Is that a goal? Is that another jurisdiction entirely and I'm out to lunch?
It's been talked about many times. We would love to do that because it really takes a big chunk of staff time and council time to do a budget. But we're not there yet. There's no way we could do an 18-month budget with the uncertainty of our state legislature and their control over major portions of our budget.
So how about if we redefined it and set a rolling 6-month budget?
Then that's all we would do is budget.
Or 12 months.
Yeah, it's 12 months right now.
It
seems like just yesterday we just finished a budget. So 12 months is...
That's what I was thinking, because it would... Outside looking in, you know, I don't know the workload components to it, but it would seem like you would then be able to monitor as you're going quarter by quarter, make whatever adjustments are as you're going, and always be working with that 12-month, knowing where you are, and react more nimbly, more quickly than what you would be able to just doing it once a year.
Well, no, we monitor it monthly. Actually, each account is monitored monthly, and it's only planning for the following year is what we do yearly. So no, we monitor it monthly, and we have systems that tell us if the account is over encumbered or is...
Wait. What was that word?
It's called encumbrances, and each account shows rather. You know, you have so much in each account that's allocated in the budget, and then our system tells us what percentage of that account has been encumbered or used up. And we have
overspending or have available.
Right, or not used at all. So at mid-year, you're looking at the accounts, and if you have a particular account that has not been has no encumbrances at all, we'll pull that apart and say, do we really need to use that? Or is there some reason, maybe there's a lot of reasons why we may not, but we look at those reasons, and that's what we do at the mid-year budget process, is to make sure that we are on track with our spending plan.
There's that train reference again. Track.
Oh, on track.
On track.
Narrow gauge.
Yeah, see, you know more than you let on, huh? And to think, we almost believed you there for a sec.
Well, trust us. We're the government, right?
Yeah. Sure. As you look at the financials as they are now,
Yeah.
We're coming up to the end of a quarter. Are we? July, August, September. Yeah. End of a quarter. Is everything pacing the way that you would want to, or are you starting to get to a spot now where you're needing to monitor a couple of areas because of some of the things that are going on?
In Arcata, I think we're doing great. This is the first quarter. It started July 1st, and we are full speed ahead with construction projects. That's the big thing now because it's the dry season, so we have a narrow construction. And those are the big ticket items. So,
what's left that you're trying to bring in before the rains?
Paving is a big one. You know, we're doing a lot of paving in Arcata as usual. So we have we're redoing the and that's another program in itself. But right now, the Food Works Culinary Center out there at Erickson Way is putting in three new commercial kitchens, community kitchens. So we ought to bring because those are business generators. That's part of a lot of, if you look at a lot of the premier businesses in Humboldt County, they were started on those commercial kitchens, such as Lacey's Cookies, Casa Lindra Salsa, the Tofu Shop. Those are all examples of very successful businesses that were started at the Culinary Center. So
paving is a logical one. This makes sense also. What about things, deferred maintenance, roofs and things like that? We used to hear about that stuff on an ongoing drumbeat. The roofs are being deferred. This is being the structural maintenance of some of the buildings. Have those been all caught up, or do we just not hear about them anymore?
No, those are on a schedule. In fact, the roof above my office was just replaced by a very reputable Eureka roofing firm. It's great to have it, but I'll tell you, having guys with sledgehammers over my head for a week was a little trying, but it is done now. You have to take care of these buildings, otherwise they'll just rot around you. And so I wearing earplugs in my office a couple weeks ago is evidence of that was taking place.
KINS News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Randy Mendoza.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
It's 3:46. Randy Mendoza's here. You're rubbing off on me, man. How's it going working with Humboldt State this year? Is the smoothness continuing to be smoother and smoother?
Yes, I don't see how it could be smoother. We have an excellent rapport with them. We meet with the vice president level every month. Just met with them last week. Good communication. Good mutual cooperation. They're a big part of Arcata. You know, it's a $90 million budget that is in the middle of our city. So it's an important part of our city.
What is the biggest challenge that you guys are dealing with in conjunction with being a college town?
Right now, I think if you ask the average citizen, it is bicyclists and skateboarders that are not respectful on the road. And I'll tell you, every year this time of year, we have the bicyclists that are trying to pass on the right, going the wrong way, and the skateboarders, and it's the motorists, and it's very scary if you're a motorist or you're driving a large vehicle, and some of these kids just think that they're invincible, so there's been some stepped up enforcement and communication between the university and the city to try to get the word out to respect the roadway for others if you're on a bike and a skateboard.
Having more dorms on campus, Strombeck's development isn't completed yet, but having more living space in the city, obviously that taxes. Taxes the infrastructure a little bit more. Do you like that? Would you prefer to be kind of dispersed a little bit more? How does the city interpret that?
I think generally the city likes that, because I think that that is part of a healthy community. You have people that want to live there, and we don't have empty. We have a very small inventory of rentals, and those folks spend their money in Arcata, and it keeps our economic engine going. And I think it's a good thing. I think it's healthy for the organization. And, you know, and the state has housing requirements, for your low-income housing. Of course, we always...
Do those count against your number?
No, they count. Sure, certainly. Those are part of our RENA numbers. So we are in compliance with state requirements for our fair housing. So it helps with grants, and it's all good.
I never thought that college dorms would count for high density.
Those are residents of Arcata.
But
and it's
affordable. He said with
housing.
A twinkle in his eye and a smile on his heart. I mean, that almost makes a ton of sense.
Sure.
But I just kind of feel a little chagrined that I didn't put those two together.
Well, I didn't think it up. Our clever staff kind of figured that out long before I did, so I have to give them the credit.
To the point that the city will ever encourage with money additional housing and additional dorm space on campus?
City doesn't do that with state housing or for the university, but the city does have sources for grants to assist with low-income housing. And the recent developments that have gone up have been a part of that, have been recipients of some of those funds. So the city is active partner on those programs.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Brian.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.